have to say, I know how dangerous they can be. That's probably a thing that people do not know. The failure mechanism of them can be quite severe. So if you have a damaged battery, that can cause some problems. And that's why I understand why electric cars, for example, are so far behind. Because this is a very critical thing. So if you have an accident with an electric car and your battery pack gets damaged, that can cause a very, very severe explosion. It's very dangerous. You would think petrol is highly flammable and it explodes very, but the petrol cars do not explode that easy. A battery-powered car with the current technology would. And that's really an eye-opener on you. We have to be very careful with the batteries we handle.
How do you monitor that then? How do you make sure that they don't explode?
We handle all the critical chemicals and materials in an inert atmosphere. So we have a special design glove box that contains argon and no oxygen. And when we test them, they're only very small. So if they really would blow up, it would be only a tiny poof, you know. But yeah, we're very, very careful. Check the batteries before we test them. Is everything all sealed and is there any leakage? Or do we already see any heat generation? You can feel it and see it sometimes.
Does it worry you then that you're seeing Teslas on our roads now?
Well, I've read a little bit about the Tesla cars, and I'm pretty sure every customer gets a safety instruction course or something on what to do when you crash with your car. So people who buy one, they know the risks because they get trained by Tesla, which is very unique. I don't think any other car company does that. But yeah, it is a worry.
Obviously, you're working in this space, so you're able to research and put into practice methods to make sure that they aren't a hazard to people. If we're moving into this age of renewables and encouraging more people to use battery storage for things like solar and wind, how can you make people aware that it's still a trialing technology?
I mean, there's all these scary videos sometimes you see on Facebook with all these blown up mobile phones or cords and stuff like that. But yeah, people probably will get used to all this like they did get used to any other flammable. I mean, people do not burn their cars up on a regular basis when they refill them. So it will be a steady process of people being very careful with the batteries they handle. Usually if you now have a power tool or your mobile phone, you don't get to the battery that easy, right? If you try to open your phone up and get the battery out, it's getting harder and harder and harder each new generation. So to try to trigger a severe reaction, you really need to work hard to break it. So you have to really use a hammer and a nail and puncture it and stuff. Don't do that. Please don't. It's just a common sense that will really help us. But again, with car, because this is not up to you. Sometimes you crash with a car and it's not your fault. The industry has to put safety measures in place to protect everybody.
Should there be an external battery box that someone would have in their house attached to a solar panel or whatever, that it's the same situation there? It would need to be foolproof.
Yeah, it would be. I was actually surprised to hear that Western Australia has a large amount of homes already having this technology in place. So that Western Australia has like whole suburbs full of solar panels and little battery packs already installed somewhere on the porch. And I thought it would be in Australia with all those bushfire problems and stuff like that, it would be actually quite dangerous to have this at home. But no, people have it. People have metallic boxes around it and probably some water cooling system around it or some. So it seems to be already at a level that you can have it safely at home without being worried all the time that it might blow up because the sun shines on it or something. We're looking into materials that will be commercialized to make the batteries more efficient, more power, more capacity, all this stuff, safer, most importantly as well, safer. So we're redeveloping components for the next generation of batteries.
What is the next generation of batteries?
Well, it's probably not lithium-ion batteries. It will be sodium-ion batteries and then probably lithium-sulfur batteries. And far, far, far in the future, it will be batteries that run on oxygen.
Oxygen?
Yeah.
How would that work?
The lithium can react reversibly with oxygen, just atmospheric oxygen. And that is theoretically the energy density is just the same, almost the same as petrol. So the power you can get out of this system is, will be equal to a combustion engine. It's possible because you don't need some of the components a lithium-ion battery would need, because you can substitute it with oxygen, which is light, and it's all, it's there everywhere. So that saves you a lot of weight and gives you a higher energy just for the whole pack, you know. It's a lot more complicated. I don't want to get too in the details, but that is the holy grail at the moment. So now that maybe we should talk about this, lithium, as I said, lithium-ion batteries are not going to be the end of the story at all, because lithium is already short on supply. So if we would make the shift now to try to power all the cars that exist and all the energy and try to use lithium-ion batteries to make it, it's not possible, right?
So, because we'd run out of lithium.
Exactly. So that's why I said other systems will be in place or are already under development, partially commercialized, I think, in France, sodium-ion battery. Similar chemistry, but sodium being in oceans and everywhere is a lot more available, cheaper than lithium will be. Because, yeah, researchers know that we need to get away from lithium-ion batteries as well. We can't use them as planned. So the next technology needs to be investigated as well. And luckily, sodium-ion batteries are, or we can learn a lot from, or use a lot from lithium-ion battery systems, what we learned there, and implement it in the sodium systems.
Because you already know some
stuff. You already
know
heaps, yeah, heaps of critical steps and things. Yeah.
And then oxygen?
And the oxygen batteries are running parallel as well, yes, they do.
Would that be a sustainable form of battery? Like, because I can't imagine, can we suck all the oxygen out of the atmosphere?
Oh, as I said, reversible, right? So the oxygen you use in the system to charge your battery, when you charge it and use it for something, the oxygen will be released. So it's a breathing battery, if you will.
So it's not stealing, it's borrowing.
Yes, it will return it. Because this technology is so young. And so unexplored, there's still so much that happens inside the battery we haven't even figured out. So there's still heaps inside the battery to look at what's happening at certain stages, what's the temperature influence, what electrolyte do you use? There's plenty of electrolytes. You can use a cup, or the air electrode can be anything really that's some sort of porosity available. And then, yeah, that's tricky electrochemistry and chemical reaction inside this kind of battery. Lots of things to explore.